O the Spirit of God, fill us with your influence this evening in the quietness of our hearts, that we would know we have been with you in your presence, in the company of one another, in your love. Bring your healing, bring your guidance, bring your joy. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our first reading this evening is from the book of the prophet Daniel. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his lords, with whom he drank. Under the influence of the wine, he ordered the gold and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem to be brought in so that the king, his lords, his wives, and his entertainers might drink from them. When the gold and silver vessels taken from the house of God in Jerusalem had been brought in, and while the king, his lords, his wives, and his entertainers were drinking wine from them, they praised their gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. Suddenly, opposite the lampstand, the fingers of a human hand appeared, writing on the plaster of the wall in the king's palace. When the king saw the wrist and hand that wrote, his face blanched, his thoughts terrified him, his hip joints shook, and his knees knocked. Then Daniel was brought into the presence of the king. The king asked him, "Are you Daniel, the Daniel the Jewish exile, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I've heard that the Spirit of God is in you, that you possess brilliant knowledge and extraordinary wisdom. I have heard that you can interpret dreams and solve difficulties. If you are able to read the writing and tell me what it means, you shall be clothed in purple, wear a gold collar about your neck, and be third in the government of the kingdom." Daniel said to the king, "You may keep your gifts or give your presents to someone else, but the writing I will read for you, O king, and tell you what it means. You have rebelled against the Lord of heaven. You had the vessels of his temple brought before you so that you and your nobles, your wives, and your entertainers might drink wine from them. And you praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, that neither see nor hear nor have intelligence. But the God in whose hand is your life breath and the whole course of your life you did not glorify. By him were the wrist and hand sent, and the writing set down. And this is what the writing was inscribed: Mene, Tekel, and Peres. These words mean, Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and put an end to it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the scales and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." This is the word of the Lord. Our responsorial is, "Give glory and eternal praise to him. Give glory and eternal praise to him. Sun and moon, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Give glory and eternal praise to him. Stars of heaven, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Give glory and eternal praise to him. Every shower and dew, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Give glory and eternal praise to him. All you winds, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Give glory and eternal praise to him. Fire and heat, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Give glory and eternal praise to him. Cold and chill, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Give glory and eternal praise to him. Alleluia, alleluia. Remain faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the crowd, "They will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking, that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." This is the gospel of the Lord.
The focus for my heart as I listen to the scripture in preparation is the possibility of illumination by the filling of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. The possibility of illumination by the filling of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. And this idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit connects to the work idea of conscious influences, see influences. Let me come back to that and first set the historical context for this extraordinary book of Daniel and the readings that have been occurring this week in the lectionary. Monday's lectionary reading sets the scene in a way for the struggle of influences that Daniel is demonstrating, and he is tempted with a four-course steak dinner by the king, in this case King Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel says, "No, I'll remain a vegetarian, I'll remain under my Jewish diet, and let the chips fall where they will." And he's stronger, he's more radiant, he's more well-preserved, he's more wise, he's more intelligent than anyone else, even though he's been on this alternative diet. Influences. The wider historical context of what finds Daniel in Babylon, which is modern-day Baghdad, is that around the year 586 BC, before the birth of Jesus, the nation of Israel, capital city Jerusalem, was deported. A large portion of them were deported. The best of the best were deported up to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. And they didn't just take people. When they showed up in Jerusalem, they destroyed the temple. Now, just for a little bit of empathy and context to our day, imagine if some foreign country came to Austin, Texas, took half of our congregation, killed the rest, burned this sanctuary and whole church campus to the ground, took the chalices with them, and used them to party with. Imagine if you were a CCH deported to this foreign country, remembering and pining for your time here in this sanctuary, knowing that it had been destroyed. That's just a little bit, perhaps, of empathy that we can have for the historical situation that Daniel found himself in. And so let's just look at this passage with a view to the notion of illumination that comes by the filling of the Holy Spirit, and that illumination is possible for every single one of us. We know that the spiritual journey is summarized in threefold movement: purgation, illumination, union. And it's not like they're floors. You know, you go to floor one and then you go to floor two. They're not necessarily isolated, compartmentalized stages. They're more like streams within the great stream. And we can move from one stream to the next until there is no self. And at that point, there is no need for these stages or these streams in our lives. You might even call them states. State of purgation, we know this well, it's like unloading. It's these experiences in life where things like shrapnel come up that have been buried in us and we didn't know that they were there. It's when things get hot on the inside, or we see how we need to be transformed, and we bear that, you might say, the compunction or the grief that we see what we be, and it's so sometimes overwhelming, or we experience intense afflictive emotions. Purgation. Illumination is that point in the journey where we get aha moments, where we get perhaps even some wonderful sensations, visions, illuminations, ecstasies. Those profound seasons in our life where scripture reading seems like everywhere you go, it's just like Whole Foods. There's abundant produce everywhere, and it's extraordinary in that season of illumination. Someone asks you a question, and a word of wisdom comes out, and you say, "Who said that?" And then there is the unitive, which is the summation of the fruit of the purgative and the illuminative. It's not distinct or separate from it. It's the fruit, and the roots come from the suffering. The roots of the unitive are rooted in the suffering and in the illuminative. And that unitive state is perhaps sometimes more permanent than these experiences of illumination. But it is that sense of oneness. Now, here we go, and just listen again to a few sections of this passage and see if you hear some of these themes of influences and filling. King Belshazzar, now this is not King Nebuchadnezzar, this is King Nebuchadnezzar's son. So some time has gone. King Daniel's no longer a kid, he's no longer a youth. So he's been enduring this purgation, symbolized by the fire, symbolized by his physical suffering. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his lords with whom he drank. So here we see immediately the influence of alcohol, the drinking that leads to the suffering, the drinking that leads to the sense of forgetting God, forgetting truth, forgetting who you are, which leads to the behavior of taking the sacred objects, of wanting the sacred in such a way to abuse it, to mock it. And it's in the state of drunkenness that we oftentimes abuse the most sacred things in our lives. Many times I have counseled with someone after they have done something they regret, and they say to me, "That wasn't me who hit her." That's right, it wasn't you, it was the alcohol or the drug or whatever. It wasn't me. That's really not who I am. That is because this kind of influence distorts us to such a degree that we lose our sense of common humanity, and we lose the sense of love and care and humanity in others under that powerful influence. So now they're drunk, they're partying, and they call for the vessels from the temple that had come from Jerusalem, something novel, because we know that sin gets boring. And we always are seeking the most novel way of expressing that. And here they turn to the worst of worst, as it were, to abuse the sacred relics. This is a symbol for our temple as well, for the body as a temple. And I know that many of us regret things we've done to or with our bodies when we have been less than conscious, because we're seeking that novel high or that novel entertainment, that sense of freedom. And I think here we see something also instructive, that Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar's father is the one that brought the items to Baghdad, to the castle, as it were. Here we have a family system. We have the sins of the father coming to roost in the family. And Belshazzar takes the sins of the father to another level. And I see this to be a pattern in families as well. I grew up in Wisconsin. And this is the time of year when it gets cold out at this hour of the night. The guys are leaving the factories. Stars are so clear because it's so cold, 20 degrees, you can see your breath. The exhaust from the cars, and guess where everyone goes on these cold, cold twilight nights? They go to the taverns and the pubs. And in my family, we had the Haases and we had the Hansons. And I distinctly can viscerally feel, even at this moment, the difference of the quality of influence between the Haas house and the Hanson house. And on Thanksgiving, I dreaded having to leave my mom's parents, the Hansons, and go to the Haases. Why did I dread that? Because at the Haases, they were all drunk. 12 Germans, all drunk. And that sense of fear, as a little boy, 5 years old, 6 years old, walking into that home, and I instantly discerned the difference of the quality. I could never have said why, but I felt it in my body, fear, because of that influence. And so we can begin to understand this powerful dynamic physically, the physical influence of alcohol. So the application for you and for me may not be alcohol, but there are very powerful influences like fear or greed or the need to shop or the need to constantly check Facebook. And we could go on and on about these influences that are in our currency. The need to watch television, the need to be entertained, the need to have a drink or this particular kind of food, all sorts of influences. Avoiding prayer, avoiding scripture in preference of being entertained or going to the movies. These aren't just examples I'm putting out of the air. These are examples I've experienced and continue to experience. The tension and the dynamic of wanting and observing that want and seeing how powerful that want is. It's an opportunity for us to realize that in many ways we're still partying with Belshazzar ourselves. And then a shock is given. Notice in the passage, suddenly, opposite the lampstand, the fingers of a human hand appear and start drawing. It's too hilarious to really believe it's true. It's so dramatic. But we can understand this as a shock, a conscious shock occurring in the party. And this oftentimes happens in our life when we come to the edge of forgetfulness of God, when we come to the edge of needing help. The shock is given, and we're sometimes saved from our foolishness before it's too late. And in this case, a shock is given. And the shock comes in the form of esoteric teaching that requires another character to enter. And here we see, enter stage left, Daniel, all grown up now, full of the Spirit, a different kind of drink, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Then Daniel was brought into the presence of the king, and the king asked him, "Are you the Daniel, the Jewish exile, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard about you. I have heard that the Spirit of God is in you, and that you possess brilliant knowledge and extraordinary wisdom." And Daniel, full of the Spirit of God, full of the gift of wisdom, full of the gift of knowledge and insight, articulates what had shocked them, and in such a way plays the prophetic role that changes the life of King Belshazzar. And if you continue to read the book of Daniel, you'll see just how. In fact, the psalm that we heard is right from Daniel chapter 5, I believe. And it's an extraordinary turn of events that occur. The point for you and for me, which Jesus hints at in the Gospel reading, is don't worry about what you're going to say. Wait upon the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit will fill you and give you everything you need to say to stand up against the kings of the world, so to speak. And the kings of the world in our lives might just be your spouse or your kids that try and rule over you in such a way that tempts you to forget yourself, that tempts you to forget God, that tempts you to forget love. These things in our lives that are constantly seeking for our attention, that they would rule us and that we would give them everything. These dynamics are very powerful in our life. And to have a friend, to have a conscious shock come along, to have an event that saves you from yourself, from the foolishness of yourself, is such a gift. Such a gift. So that breakdown, that divorce, that fight, that night of drunkenness that wakes you up is in many ways God's grace to all of us. And the power of the Holy Spirit released from Jesus at the end of his life is now available to all of us. And if I've learned anything from the teaching and witness of Bernadette Roberts, it is that this thing is an aperture, like a telescope. I can begin very small and constricted, tight, but the Spirit of God opens me like an aperture, not just opening me and healing, but filling me with the Spirit. And the Spirit bears fruit like the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom, the gift of generosity, the gift of kindness and encouragement, and etc. And it's occurring in each of you as well. So this is a church that celebrates the inward cleaning, not so that we can be empty vessels so much, although that's a beautiful gift. The gift of being empty is that you get to be filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit is intimately connected with the Word of God written, the Word of God as the Logos, which is in all of creation, and the Eucharist. That we become living temples of God, filled with the Spirit, flowing out with wisdom and insight, teachers among teachers among teachers, students among students among students, filled not with ourselves but with the Spirit of God. And it is a bit like, you might say, the lights coming on and off, because there are times where I don't know where the Spirit is in my life, and out comes from my mouth words of anger and even meanness that I can't believe I'm saying. That's because I'm not just like one cup like that. There's cups within cups within cups. Or in the work teaching, there are minds within minds within minds. We're modules, and there are sometimes we're in our reptilian brain, and sometimes we're in our prefrontal cortex. So we have to be gracious with ourselves and with one another, recognizing that the Spirit is still there when we're in our reptilian brain, reacting with fighting and fleeing and anger. The Spirit's still there, but we're more constricted down on ourselves. And wait an hour or two, and we come back up here to this brain, and we can love again. And we can be patient again. So we truly are conscious animals. And this puts us in the most precarious situations. On the one hand, we can be full of meat and drink, eat, drink, and be merry, the pursuits of the animal. On the other hand, we can be filled with the Spirit, conscious beings developing in the great ray of creation. Who knows where we're going or what we can become. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit fill you tonight and always until we meet again.